thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Hallelujah. God is faithful. You know, we can read about God being faithful, we can sing about God being faithful, and all that is absolutely wonderful. Love to sing of it, love to read of it in His Word. But you know, it is in the nitty-gritty of life that we find God to be faithful. In real terms, in actual terms, and in the midst of life, that's when everything that we read about and everything that we sing about becomes real. Yeah? Yes. When the rubber hits the road. We're turning to God's Word again this morning in Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll spill over as well into chapter 12. This morning, I just want to kind of summarize, kind of like the first half of Hebrews 11 from verse 7, and then go on into 12 this morning. We are looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah. No better one to look to. So Hebrews chapter 7, I'm just going to go through just by faith these people. So if you have your Bible, you might want to follow along, because I'm going to skip a few verses and I'm going to highlight others as we go. So from verse 7, by faith Noah built. By faith Abraham obeyed. By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. By faith, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the Exodus. I mean, this is over 400 years later, the Exodus, but by faith, Joseph mentioned the Exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. I love the authorized version, actually. It says, he was hidden by his parents because his parents saw he was a proper child. I love that. I don't know what an improper child is, but they thought, yeah, this is a proper child. And so they hid him. And listen to this in verse 22. So Moses' parents hid him for 3 months because they saw that he was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Faith will always dispossess fear. That's what faith does. So verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. And all of this by faith. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Guys, I've got a plan. Let's walk around Jericho once a day. for 7 days, and then the eighth we'll walk around it, you know, eight times, and then we'll give a big shout and it'll fall down. Fancy that? That's a cunning plan. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. 31. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient. Now we're going to read from verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, wow, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead back by resurrection. Incredible things. And then the writer goes on to speak about some others. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Wait a minute. Is this not the chapter of faith? Is not this all about conquering kingdoms and obtaining promises and closing the mouths of lions and quenching the power of fire and turning away the edge of the sword? Have we moved on now to those who didn't have faith? Have we moved on to those who just didn't have it? They weren't the heroes of faith. Have we moved on to these other people who suffered? Mocking and flogging and imprisonments and being stoned and sawn in two. And they were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. Oh, that these must be the guys that didn't have faith, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. No. These guys are not the guys who didn't have faith. Verse 39, and all these, the guys who conquered kingdoms, the guys who made awesome promises come to life, the ones who quenched the power of fire, the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, putting foreign armies to flight, people receiving their children back from the dead. Those were people of faith. And the people of faith who were flogged, beaten, thrown in prison, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, sawn in half. These were people of faith also. Do we compute that in this day and age? Because we think the people of faith are the healthy, wealthy, and wise. We normally think of the people, the man of the power, with the power for the hour. He's got everything together, and everything happens in his life, and it's all great promises come to pass. And you know, if we could only have faith like that, then we could have a right old rosy life to ourselves as well. But that's not it. Faith doesn't work like that. We don't have faith in faith. We don't have faith as an entity in and of itself that says, well, if I could just have enough faith, I could have my best life now. That's not how faith works. Faith does not put us in the driving seat. Faith recognizes that God's in the driving seat. That He is sovereign. And my life is His. So whether I am involved in conquering kingdoms and raising people from the dead and walking through actual fire, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego coming out alive, or whether my life glorifies God by being stoned and flogged and mistreated and afflicted and sawn in two, my life will glorify him. My life will glorify him. On the butcher's block or in conquering kingdoms. Have we come to that place in our lives, truly and actually, where we have surrendered it all to God? Surrendered it all. Now, I know that some of you in this room have had to make some difficult decisions. You've had to give up relationships, some of you, because you knew that according to God's word, it wasn't right. And it was the hardest thing that you ever did. And yet, it wasn't your will, but his will. It's a wonderful place to get to. When you don't feel that you have to manipulate or maneuver or connive or work behind the scenes to get your will done, because God is God and your life is completely surrendered to his, and his life will fill us. His life will lead us. So therefore, whatever it may be, like last week we're talking about the delight of faith, the delight of faith, the delight to do his will. Folks, that's not an easy thing sometimes, is it? But the thing is this, if God has a will, and we have a will, and there's a clash of wills, and there's a clash of kingdoms, we better learn quick that it's a good thing to surrender to his will and begin to adjust emotionally and mentally and every other way to aligning with that will. Even though it's not what we want. That's faith. Now, it might be a surprise to some of us this morning, the modern Christians. It might be a surprise or even a shock to think, you mean, I have to have a wee drink of water here to think about this. You mean to say that God is not there to do my will? You mean to say that the Lord's Prayer is not my will be done? No, it's thy will be done. It's your will be done, Lord. And I tell you, and I submit to you, that life, a life of faith, is that. It's there at that place where the clash of wills hit on each other. That's where the rubber hits the road. That's where we say, well, Lord, I really would like this to happen. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. That's faith, is it not? To say, Lord, I'm struggling with this decision, with this direction, but I joyfully, and Lord, to be honest, because you know my heart, you know I'm not joyfully at this moment in time, but I ask you to make me joyful, to make me joyfully do your will, rather than sticking our heels in and saying, I want my will to be done, otherwise I'm out of here. Just like so many apparent Christians who didn't get answered prayer, where God didn't give them what they wanted, where God didn't actually align himself with their will. And so that's too much for them. Because it's not genuine faith, you see. Because genuine faith perseveres. Genuine faith endures. Genuine faith says this: Lord, I know my heart. My heart doesn't always line up with your word. My heart doesn't always be in harmony with you. So we need to recognize that, submit that, and say, Lord, I surrender it. There, there is no greater, more joyful place, more peaceful place than being in the will of God. Honestly and truly. There's a friend of ours asked once to go to a war zone, you know, some years ago, not recently. And the first thing he asked was, is it safe? No, it's not safe. It's not safe. See, the first question is always about self-preservation, is it not? It's always about how will this affect me? Can I lose something here? Because we're kind of self-focused, aren't we? And we're still in process. So the first question is not, is it safe? Or is it comfortable? Is it the will of God? Because there's no safer place to be than the will of God. There's no safer place to be than the very center of God's will. So you never, ever want to be out of God's will. And that's why to get to a place of faith is to surrender all. Because it's only at that point that you cease to maneuver and manipulate and try to get your own way. That's so hard to do that. It's really hard to be God. But we still try it anyway. We still try to be in control. But it's so difficult. Faith lets God be God. Yeah? That's what it's about. So whether we are being led by God and to conquer kingdoms and do all these exciting things, or to lay our lives down as martyrs for Christ, it comes back to this, that point of God's will and responding in faith. It goes on, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Our faith this morning, folks, is not in faith. Our faith is not in faith. Our faith is in God. Faith is a gift from God to bring us to God. We need to understand that God-given faith is just that, God-given. It is a gift. So don't project forward and think, oh my, I'm not sure if I could withstand persecution or if I could be a martyr. You don't have that faith right now sitting in this nice cozy building because you don't need it. If you need it, you will get it. And we will all get what we need to be faithful witnesses for the Lord. Faith doesn't put us in the driving seat. Faith recognizes that God and God alone is in full control, and our part is to gladly surrender, to believe Him, to joyfully trust Him, whatever may be. This cloud of witnesses, it's amazing, isn't it? They're so flawed, but they're so faithful. By faith, men and women of faith, flawed. They had their weaknesses, they had their faults, they made mistakes, some of them huge mistakes, grievous sins. By faith, Noah, he built. But then he became a bit of a drunkard, didn't he? It doesn't tell us that here. It just says, by faith, he built. David, he's in the list. Wow, David, he was an awesome warrior. Goliath. Bathsheba. Arranging the death of her husband. Trying to cover it up. Still on the list of those faithful heroes of God. Samson. Samson. Samson's there. Adultery. Fornication. Disobedience to God continually, you know, just flouting the gift of God that he had been given. And along comes Delilah. My Delilah. Cut off his hair. And that was the end of him. Or was it? No. No, it wasn't, was it? A flawed man of faith in the list of heroes of faith. See, here's what we do with biblical heroes. We tend to sanitize them. We tend to think that somehow or other, you know, they didn't have feet of clay like we did. We tend to think of them as superheroes and so much better than us and so much further on than us and so much greater than us. We could never do what they did because they're somehow or other, they were just so incredibly more special than we are. And yet we dig deep and we dig in there and we think of Samson, we think of the others, we think of Moses with his anger management problem and all of those things. And then we think of Barak. Who's this guy Barak? Well, he was called by Deborah, one of the judges, and she said, come on, Barak, get to battle. Go fight the enemies of the people of God. And he refused to go to battle. He refused to go unless she went with him. Now, here's the point. Some see that from Barak as he's a wimp, this guy Barak. He's holding on to the apron strings of Deborah and he doesn't want her to not be there. He's a spineless, weak, puny man. Now, others see him as smart and spiritual and in tune with God. I know how I see it. If you have a woman of God around, you want her with you. That's how I see it. If you know what's good for you, you want that woman of God right there with you as you go into battle. It's not a sign of puniness and weakness. It's a sign of spiritual smartness. here's a woman of God. She hears from God. I'm called to go to battle. I want her with me. And Barak is listed by name in the heroes of faith. And that's what makes me think, good idea. Have a woman of God beside you if you're going to go forward into battle. Despite all the frailties and even the failures of the cloud of witnesses, here they all are. They're all flawed, but they're all included. Because ultimately, it's not about our faith or their faith. It's about God's faithfulness to sinners. We tend to subconsciously sanitize the biblical saints, make them out to be paragons of perfection. But of course, we know they weren't. God uses frail, flawed, failed sinners. Why does he do that? Think about it. It's obvious, isn't it? That's all there is. Because that's all there is. Frail, flawed, failed sinners. And that's why God uses them. Because that's all there is to use. God uses us not because of who we are. None of us are any great shakes. None of us. He uses us in spite of who we are, not because of who we are. He chooses us and uses us because of Jesus. That's why the faith we have to believe comes as a gift from God. Even the repentance that we show is a gift from God. We have nothing, zero, to boast about when it comes to faith and salvation. Nothing at all. Because it is all of God. And yes, we cooperate with him. And yes, we surrender to him. That's about it. We surrender to him. And he fills us, forgives us, cleanses us, empowers us, and sets us off on a journey and in a direction of faith. That's the cloud of witnesses. Let me speak just a couple of minutes on the call. The call. What is the call in verse 1? The call is to run the race. That's what the Christian call is. To run the race. Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Are there any runners here today? As I look out, you like running, jogging, anybody? A few nods and winks and running. You know, many people started running, didn't they, during lockdown? Is that you? One of yous? Yeah, maybe some of you did. Couch to 5K. Yeah, you heard of that? That whole program became very, very popular. And some people who'd never run before took up running. And found to their great surprise that they could actually do it. While others, to their great unsurprise, found that they couldn't do it. And I was one of those. In April 2019, seems such a long time ago, I took up couch to 5K. Let's do this. Let's do this thing. After some near-death experiences in week 1, 2, and 3, I got to week 4, completed it, and I got COVID. Now, I really did want to continue with Couch to 5K. Honest, I did. But I found a verse. And you know how you can always find a verse? When you want a verse, when you need a verse, you can find one. And I found one, to my great joy. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. The wicked run when no one is chasing them. So I thought, well, that's that then. What's the point of running? In fact, the Bible says, right there. I'm not a runner. And it's as simple as that. Some people are natural runners. They actually love running. I'll never understand it. I'll never get to that place where you love running. One of my friends, his best friends, he loves to run. But I asked him, I said, no, but do you really love, when you're running, are you enjoying it? And he says, well, sometimes. Most of the time it's torture, but, you know, sometimes it's like, but you get those people, don't you, that they just love to run, and they just seem to glide along effortlessly. And on a snowy day, they wouldn't even leave footprints. They just seem to float, run, hardly out of breath. They're runners. Up here for me, and in every other part of my anatomy, says, I'm not a runner. But as Christians, we are all called to run the race, that race of faith, to get off the couch. Maybe it's time, folks, now that we're kind of just coming out of COVID. Maybe it's time. Maybe we've got into some bad habits of comfort and we're on the couch. Maybe it's time to say, well, actually, you know what? It's going to be painful. It's going to be sore. But I have to run this race. I have to run this race. I have to do what God calls me to do. I have to engage with the Word of God. I have to engage with the people of God. I cannot give up meeting together, as is the habit of some, as the Word of God says, but just because I've got into a habit. You know, there are good habits and bad habits. And both of them come to us, and we feel so comfortable within them. That's the problem. Good or bad. So maybe it's time to think about, well, what race am I running? Spiritually, as a Christian, am I on the couch? Has the last 2 years caused me to be a couch potato Christian? Because really, we've been on Zoom and we've been doing this and we've got out of habits and we've got maybe into a place where we're just so comfortable with not actually running the race. Not properly. I mean, we'll kind of like, on a Sunday morning maybe, but couch to 5K for Christians. The race marked out for us, folks. What is the race? What is the race that God has marked out for us? It's to follow Jesus. To lay aside the dead weight of sin. It's to run with endurance, with patience, with perseverance, to keep on keeping on, to run the race marked out for us, laid out for us, collectively as a church, and individually marked out for us. Are we running that race? Only you can answer that question. The first Christians were called people of the way. Not people in the way, people of the way. At that time, the distinction between those who believed in the gods, but it didn't really affect how they lived their lives. Well, in contrast, the first believers were known by their way of life. That's why they were called people of the way. They believed the way. They followed the way. They lived the way. They ran the race marked out for them, looking unto Jesus. Folks, this morning by faith, receive the challenge. Receive the challenge by faith to say, have I become comfortable? Have I become lethargic? Have I imbibed habits over this last couple of years that really, if I compare them to the couple of years before that, it's a downgrade, not an upgrade. Spiritually flabby, comfortable, even complacent. Because I believe that now is the time. Now is the time for all of us to evaluate where we are, to think about where we are with God. Only you can do that. I'm doing it. We're doing it. And we have said this, Lord, there's some things I can't do anymore. But here's the point for us. Lord, it's your will, what you call us to do, that is what we will do by faith. And that's what God calls us all to do. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that you have saved us, that we are saved by faith. That not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. And we know that we are people of the way. We are to follow you. We are to shake ourselves up. We are to gird the loins. We are to get ready once again to run with you. The way that's marked out for us. Not to be spectators, but to be participators in the faith. And we know, Lord, that that will involve painful things. Just as physically running is painful. And yet the muscles grow through the pain. And our faith grows through the pain. So, Father, draw us, we pray, ever closer back to you, that we would truly keep in step with your Spirit and walk in faith in your will for your glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.